morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Well, things could get worse in Washington, D.C., and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. There are also calls for most of Florida's Republican congressional delegation to step down. That's the first topic today here on Radioactivity. First of all, though, before we get to that, thanks to everybody that helped out and donated during the two-day fund drive that WMNF just ended last night. We did really well on public affairs. Some of the other programs came up short, and if you missed donating to your favorite show, please go online to WMNF.org and help us reach the final amount. I think we were just $300 short during the entire fundraising drive. Well, Common Cause of Florida, the public interest group, has issued a press release calling for the immediate resignation of Florida's junior U.S. Senator, Rick Scott, and 12 other members of the congressional delegation because they failed to accept the results of the election in that vote last Wednesday at the U.S. Capitol. And we're joined now by Angenice Gonzalez-Eilert. She is the executive director of Florida Common Cause, and she's on the phone with us right now. Angenice, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Hi. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate you having me on.
So tell us what it is exactly that you're calling for and why.
So it's an unfortunate thing to have to request, but we are asking that the members of Congress that voted to subvert the will of the people and those that shared the responsibility for the violence that happened at our Capitol should immediately resign. So those 12, as you mentioned, and Senator Rick Scott are the folks that we are asking step down. These members of Congress, they failed to follow the Constitution and their oath of office by voting to deny the will of the people. They have proof they can't carry out the duties of their office in our Democratic Republic and must immediately resign. I mean, there's just, we had a free and fair election. People have spoken. And to have somebody in office wish to overturn that is simply unconscionable.
Let me just read the list of members of Congress who voted against accepting the results of the election. Of course, U.S. Senator Rick Scott, Congresswoman Kat Kamik, Mario Diaz-Balart, Byron Donalds, Neil Dunn, Scott Franklin, who's newly elected, Matt Gaetz, Carlos Jimenez, Brian Mast, Bill Posey, John Rutherford, Greg Stube of this area, and Daniel Webster of this area. So what does the Constitution say about what their obligation is when they vote on the Electoral College results?
So their Constitution, really the Constitution points to the state. It's not really designed for Congress to be electing our president, nor is it designed for the vice president, the sitting vice president, to be electing our president. It's false to the states, and the states had already spoken. They had already certified their elections. This is really ceremonial when it gets to Congress. Granted, they have the opportunity to object, but those objections have gone through. We saw 62 court cases, all of them, with the exception of one, all the cases were thrown out. There was simply no merit. There's nothing for them to go on in terms of saying that this was in any way, shape, or form anything but a free, fair, and transparent election. Even the Department of Justice called it an election that was properly done. All the election officials throughout the country stood up for how well the election was run. So there's really nothing. It holds no water. What their claims were, and it's shameful that they would go down this road. And as you pointed out, some of these Congress members were newly elected. This was one of their first orders of business, and that's how you're kicking off your election to Congress, by trying to subvert the will of the people. No, you need to resign.
And I'll just read from your press release. Make no mistake, the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol was incited by President Trump. 13 of Florida's elected federal officials failed to accept the results of free and fair elections and played a role in spreading disinformation. Instead of upholding the Constitution and the will of the voters, they voted to subvert the government we elected them to serve. They must be removed from office immediately. Tell me why Common Cause gets involved in this, though. You're a good government group. Why is this important to Florida Common Cause?
So we, if you look at our tagline, so this is, we're in our 51st year. We turned 50 last year, and we are essentially what's known as a watchdog organization. And our tagline is holding power accountable. So the moment that things start happening in the dark, the moment that we turn away from what is happening in our democracy, that is how democracy dies. And so organizations like ours ensure that we are constantly holding power accountable, that we are watching our leaders and letting them know when you're doing the right thing, we are there to support you. But when you are doing the wrong thing, something, especially something as grievous as going against our Constitution, which is something I could argue all Americans hold dear, organizations like ours will definitely call you out. We are nonpartisan. We are not, whether you are a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, it does not matter. If you are upholding the Constitution and you are upholding our democracy, we will be on the same side. And if you are not, we are going to call you out, even if it requires us to do something as asking you to resign.
Well, our guest is the executive director of Florida Common Cause, Angenice Gonzalez-Eilert. And last week, or just within the last few days, Common Cause called for the immediate resignation of Senator Rick Scott and 12 members of Congress because they voted to overturn the Electoral College results last week in that famous meeting, nighttime meeting at the U.S. Capitol. You say, Angenice, that Common Cause is also exploring other means to hold members of Congress accountable. What are the other means that you have as a nonprofit watchdog group?
So what we can do is encourage Congress and what action steps that they can take, what avenues they have available to them. So should these members decide that they do not wish to step down, they do not wish to do the right thing at this moment, because what, they already did something wrong, but if they decide they are not going to do the right thing now and actually resign, then the other avenues that are available to Congress are an ethics commission, censure, or even expulsion. That's something that's developing at the moment, so we will wait and see. I mean, as a matter of fact, today we released another press release asking for swift impeachment of President Donald Trump and giving Mike Pence 24 hours to make that determination, whether they wish to invoke the 25th Amendment. And if not, we are urging the House to move swiftly with impeachment.
Angenice, one last question.
We're taking this very seriously.
Obviously, yeah. And I think the whole country does, too. I mean, no matter what side of this issue you're on, we all take it very seriously because what happened last Wednesday was unprecedented in U.S. history, at least in our lifetimes. I just wonder, when members of Congress believe wrongly that the election was stolen, and that somehow there's a vast conspiracy out there involving tens of thousands of people, and what does that do? I mean, and this obviously is a theory that's being pushed in some media, talk radio, some of the conservative cable news networks, that the election was stolen. What does it do to the fabric of our democracy to have so many people believing something that is dead wrong?
So let's make a distinction between what the members of Congress truly believe. If they truly believe that this was an election that was rigged and was stolen, which simply makes no sense. First, there's no proof. But beyond that, so you're going to tell me that the top of the ticket was rigged and stolen, but the rest of the ticket, that ran smoothly. That defies logic. So we can start there. So I don't know that I would argue necessarily that these Congress members truly believe that this was stolen or rigged. They may have other motives as to why they pushed forward with this. Our deeper concern, however, is the mis- and disinformation that's being fed to the American people. That's just shameful because they know that they are peddling in lies, and the sheer fact that they continue to fan those flames. So what we do at Common Cause is we try and provide our community with truth, with information that's based on facts, with information that can be verified, so that they have the confidence that our elections, all of our elections, were free, fair, and transparent. And if we cannot come to an agreement moving forward that we do still have a safe and secure democracy. It unravels the very fabric of who we are as a United States. It unravels the very fabric of who we are as a democracy. And that is something that we continue to work and will continue to work hard against, because we all deserve to know that we are in a country that values democracy and that will protect our democracy at all costs. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle that we're on. We are all Americans, and we are all here to live in a free and fair society.
Well, Anjanes Gonzalez-Eilard, thank you for coming on WMNF. How can people find out more, and is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your calls for the immediate resignation of Senator Rick Scott and 12 other members of Congress?
So if you have an interest in pursuing this with us, we ask you to please reach out to your legislators. Contact them directly. And also share the information on social media. You can find our information on commoncause.org/SL. And the press release is there. You could also find us on Facebook at Common Cause Florida. And anything that you would need, you could reach out directly to me, and you could find my information on the website at Common Cause Florida.
Well, Anjanes Gonzalez-Eilard, thank you for coming on WMNF.
Thank you very much, Rob. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Thank you. Anjanes Gonzalez-Eilard is Executive Director of Common Cause of Florida. Their website location is commoncause.org. And Common Cause is a nonpartisan grassroots organization dedicated to upholding the core values of American democracy. That's part of their mission statement. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. And if you want to comment on anything we've talked about so far, you're welcome to email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. You can also call us at 813-238-8001. Gene writes, I wrote to Rick Scott yesterday. Here's my letter. Here's his response. He didn't really address my concerns, writes Gene. And I got to say, Gene, I will read the letter that you wrote and that Governor Rick Scott wrote. I might not be able to do it on the air because it's a long exchange. 813-239-9663. Ernie in Port Richey writes, did you demand Democrats be removed when they did the same thing? And he points to what happened in the early part of the Trump administration, or the vote in 20... No, what is he referring to here? Let's see what Ernie is referring to. He's referring to an article that Derek Mueller wrote on January 6th, the New York Times, in which he says Democrats have been shameless about your presidential vote, too. After the 2000, 2004, and 2016 elections, they objected to counting electoral totals, writes Ernie. So, Ernie, thank you for that. Again, he sends a long piece from the New York Times about what Democrats, why they objected to the results of previous elections. Well, we're going to talk more about the crisis that's going on in the country, and if you want to call up, you're welcome to. I'm going to mention a few other things that I think we should be paying attention to. First of all, President Trump, just a few minutes ago, said that he takes no responsibility for what happened in the violent attempted takeover of the U.S. Capitol last Wednesday. I'll just read from the Associated Press. President Trump is taking no responsibility for his role in fomenting the violent insurrection at the U.S. Capitol last week. A Capitol police officer died from injuries suffered in the riot, and police shot a woman during the violence. Three others died in what authorities said were medical emergencies. Speaking to reporters before traveling to Texas this morning, Trump says his remarks to supporters last week were totally appropriate. Minutes before his supporters stormed the Capitol, Trump encouraged them to march on the seat of the nation's government, where lawmakers were tallying Electoral College votes, affirming President-elect Joe Biden's victory. Trump, for months, had also spread baseless claims that the November election was fraudulent, despite his own administration's finding to the contrary. And so that's a little bit of what's going on in Washington. Also this from the Associated Press and what's going on in Washington. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer is calling on the FBI to add anyone identified breaching the Capitol during last week's violent riot to the federal no-fly list. So that's Senator Schumer calling for the people that stormed the Capitol to be added to the federal no-fly list. The FBI is warning of plans for armed protests in all 50 state capitals and in Washington, D.C., leading up to next week's inauguration of Joe Biden. Let's listen to a story from Sagar Magani.
The FBI is warning of the potential for armed protests by Trump loyalists leading up to next Wednesday in all 50 state capitals and here in the nation's capital, where the Washington Monument's been closed to the public amid threats. Even as the Bureau warned of heightened terror fears, acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf abruptly resigned.
That's a report from Sagar Magani, who works for the Associated Press. Let's take our first phone call from Ted in Elfers. Hi, Ted. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Good morning. I also received an email response from Rick Scott where he basically says, well, I still think it's fraudulent. I'm still believing that Pennsylvania was wrong. Like, he doesn't in any way acknowledge the truth, and he's just continuing on with the lying. So he definitely needs to be removed from office. Immediately. And just on a side note, I was wondering if those terrorist hunting permits were available at my local Antifa office or not. Thank you, Rob.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Ted. That's very funny. 813-239-9663. Of course, the joke there, part of the joke, is that Antifa has really no organization. The group that is anti-fascist and has shown up to fight fascists around the country in places like Portland and elsewhere, they've got no office. Although, if my conservative friends will send me emails and links claiming that George Soros has sent tens of billions of dollars to Antifa. Now, where Soros allegedly sent this money to is who knows, right? Because you search on the email that you get from your friends who are conservative and you search for the original source, and there is no source. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. The Huffington Post, going along with what we just mentioned, that the FBI is warning of plans for armed protests around the country, the Huffington Post is reporting that U.S. Capitol Police briefed Democrats last night about three more potentially gruesome demonstrations planned in the next few days, with one plot to encircle the U.S. Capitol and assassinate Democrats and some Republicans. On the private call last night, the leaders of the Capitol Police told House Democrats they were closely monitoring three plans that could pose serious threats to members of Congress as Washington prepares for Joe Biden's presidential inauguration next Wednesday. The first one is a demonstration billed as the largest armed protest ever to take place on American soil. Another is a protest in honor of Ashley Babbitt. She was a woman killed while trying to climb into the Speaker's lobby during Wednesday's pro-Trump siege of the Capitol. And another demonstration that Congress members are getting warned about, which three members of Congress said was by far the most concerning plot, would involve insurrectionists forming a perimeter around the U.S. Capitol and around the White House and around the U.S. Supreme Court, and then blocking Democrats from entering the Capitol building, perhaps even killing them, so that Republicans could take control of the government. The members of Congress, whom Huffington Post spoke to last night, say they were extremely concerned by the call, saying it was overwhelming. Now, Congressman Ilhan Omar was on MSNBC this morning, and she was asked about the briefing that these members of Congress got about the potential threats in the coming days. And you'll hear what she's going to say. Here's Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, a Democrat.
What I think it is important for the public to know is that there is increased threat. What we experienced Wednesday could potentially be repeated, and there are proper steps being taken. There is more coordination with national security and federal law enforcement to make sure that the Capitol is not breached, that members of Congress and their staff and everyone who is going to be at the Capitol will be safe the next 10 or so days until the inauguration. We will learn more today as we get into the Capitol and see a lot of what has been put in place. What happened Wednesday was something that none of us really expected to happen. Many of my colleagues have spoken about how they thought the safest place they could be was the Capitol. We learned that was not the case, and our hope is that we will be put at ease with the measures that are that have been taken as we arrive tonight for a vote.
Congressman Ilhan Omar earlier today on MSNBC. You can see the full interview on MSNBC. She was not. She didn't really go as far as the Huffington Post report that I read you earlier. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Clearly showing her concern, but not revealing much of the detail that is in the Huffington Post report. 813-239-9663. Now, yesterday on CNBC, Peter Meyer, a Republican from Michigan, one of nine freshman congressmen lawmakers who voted to uphold the November elections, he voted the opposite of what Rick Scott did. He says his life and other Republican members of Congress who voted to uphold the results of the election could be at risk. This is what he told MSNBC yesterday, and let's listen to the freshman Peter Meyer from Michigan.
I mean, the lie that this was a landslide victory for Donald Trump that was stolen on November 3rd and thereafter, that falsehood has been fed to many folks who voted Republican. They've been misled by folks that they trusted. And instead of telling the people of America and their supporters what they need to hear, we've had too many politicians telling them what they want to hear. And that type of reactive leadership is not going to make the Republican Party ever be a party that is trusted to govern in this country again. The supporters, the folks who have been duped, who have been, you know, told things by people that they trusted, that weighs heavily on all of us. I mean, that is something that I'm extremely concerned about. And again, I realize, you know, I was one of nine freshmen who voted to uphold the election and not to vote to overturn. My colleagues have been harassed on the street. They've had mobs swarm them at airports. Some of them have had death threats and are currently under armed protection. You know, we realized that was a vote that we cast that put our safety at risk. And going forward, you know, I'm expecting there will likely be more political violence. And so, you know, my expectation and the expectation of some folks I'm talking to who are trying to vote our conscience on this is that there will be folks who try to kill us. And that's just something we have to grapple with every day. That is where the rhetoric has brought us. That is the degree of fear that's been created. And what's more, I've heard objections to the impeachment based on what reaction it might cause. I don't believe in giving rioters, hecklers, insurrectionists, I don't believe in giving them a veto. We need to make what the right decision is. The consequences will be something we have to deal with. But at the end of the day, we can't let ourselves be held hostage because some are threatening violence.
That's Republican Congressman Peter Meyer of Michigan. And you can see that entire interview on the CNBC website. He did that interview yesterday. He's expecting more political violence. He said some folks will try to kill us. Of course, he's dissenting from President Trump's position. And some of his fellow members of Congress who voted with the president are worried about the reaction by the Trump supporters. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And let's take another phone call. Let's go to Christine in Sarasota. Christine, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hi. I just wanted to, because this is what I do, I always try to read about what's going on. I want to recommend a book that will explain that Trump's just following the playbook of all the other authoritarian demagogues. There's a book called Strong Men, and I don't know if you've mentioned it on your program.
Yeah, Ruth Ben-Ghiad, who is the author of that book, was a guest on this show about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I missed it. Your shows are wonderful, and I try to catch as many as I can. Yeah, nothing he's done is new, but it's very dangerous, and people need to know that authoritarians are, you know, he's not going to leave willingly. So if she's already covered it, I can't do any better than that.
Okay,
but everyone should read this book.
No, it's good that you brought it up because it is a great book.
Yeah.
All right. Christine, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. 813-239-9663. talking about a book from a professor who works at NYU called Strong Men, and her last name is Ben, B-E-N-G-H-I-A-T. It's Ben-G-H-I-A-T. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Jeff writes this: I think in the future we should not use software-based voting systems. Every vote should be counted manually and monitored by members of both major parties. Perhaps that would eliminate allegations of election fraud. How were votes counted before computers were invented? Actually, Jeff, I think that's a little off, and maybe I should do another show about computer voting, because what happens here and around the country is that you get a paper ballot. And you mark the ballot, and that ballot is preserved, and you put it into a counting machine, and the counting machine counts it. And then, if there are any questions about the election, or if you want to have a recount, or as all election supervisors do, they recheck the tabulation, and they do spot checks. They have the paper ballots, and they take it away from the machine that was originally counting it, and they try a different machine. And you might say, well, you can mess with one machine. Well, it's hard to mess with two machines and get the same results. So, Jeff, I promise, I am going to reach out to one of the election supervisors and have them explain how things work these days with the interface between paper ballots and computer ballots. And I think it's an important topic. I don't blame you for raising the issue, but I think that there is more security now than there was 20 years ago. 813-239-9663. Deborah in Spring Hill writes, my fear is that if Trump is removed, Pence will pardon him. My understanding is that he's being somewhat constrained so as to mitigate any damage he might try. Eight more days, writes Deborah in Spring Hill. By the way, Barbara Fling is our phone producer today. Let's go to Rosemary in Tampa. Rosemary, thank you for calling. What would you like to comment about?
I would like to say that I think because of everything that has happened as a nation, we should be collectively ashamed. I mean, everybody, yes, is shocked away, but we should really be ashamed that this happened here. I thought that we were better, but I guess that we're not. But I think the root of the whole thing is that the education system, it seems to me that people are just not educated.
And Rosemary, which part of this? Because a lot has happened in the last few days, in the last year. What should Americans...
The storming of the Capitol. To me, that is it is the seat of our country. It's like sacred ground. And there was a holy line that was crossed. You just don't do that. Yes, you can protest and even show up with your guns if you want to, but to storm it and five people are dead. Shame on us. Shame on us. We should all be collectively ashamed. How could we? We are the laughingstock of the world. We're supposed to be educated and civilized. We're acting like, Thank you, Rob. I love your show.
Thank you, Rosemary. Thank you, and I hear your pain. Thank you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Michelle in Tampa. Hi, Michelle. You're on MNF. What's up?
Hey, good morning. I think at this point, basically, they need to do a Zoom-type inauguration, some sort of virtual inauguration, because at this point, it's just not safe. It's extreme. It's crazy. You obviously cannot trust the entire security situation with the inauguration coming. They just need to do it virtually at this point. And I know that really sucks in a lot of ways, but at the same time, I'd rather have our president, alive and Kamala Harris alive at the end of the day. These people should not be underestimated. They are very extreme. And quite frankly, when you read some of the comments on the Facebook sites that these extremists, when you look at their posts, it's crazy stuff. It's really like world-ending, just extreme conspiracy theory stuff that would just question sanity at that point. Like, how could they believe all these things? So I don't trust the situation at all. These people are definitely crazy, and I don't underestimate what they would go, like the links that they would go to.
Yeah, and I think that's why the members of Congress who got that Capitol Hill briefing last night were so freaked out about the potential danger. Michelle, the mayor of Washington, D.C. has told folks, don't become a tourist, don't go to D.C. next Wednesday, stay home, watch it on TV, do it virtually, because she's worried for the very reason you are, that there's going to be violence by these extremists.
Right, and I think she has every right to say that. And, you know, to be honest, even on a local level here, you know, I fear for each state's security and safety, just average citizens, because you've heard of people being attacked on the street for their skin color and who they may have voted for. I mean, heaven forbid you're driving around with a Biden sticker on the back of your car. You know, these crazies, they're out for blood, basically. And this is not the America that I knew before 2016. Before 2016, you could put a bumper sticker on your car, drive around, have your opinion out there, and not be scared for it. But when Trump was running for office, I actually was always putting bumper stickers on my car. I stopped doing that because, you know, I have a 9-year-old. I'm not going to put our safety at jeopardy. And that's a shame that we live in this kind of country since 2016. Before we could have our differences of opinion, we can't have that anymore and still feel safe about it.
Yeah, Michelle, I think you're right. I see very few. This election, I saw very few bumper stickers for either candidate. I think both sides were afraid. I think it's understandable, too, why you would be afraid of the Trump supporters, because they've got the guns, or most of the guns. But how do you think we get back to those days where you can have a vigorous debate, but then you're not, you know, people aren't breaking into the Capitol and beating people over the head with the American flag and, you know, bringing pipe bombs and Molotov cocktails to Washington, D.C., and then threatening a million-gun march? How do you think we get back to the days where you can disagree but not be violent?
I think we need to answer this with swift and harsh punishments, make examples of people who are coming out in extreme ways, threatening murder and violence. We need to answer this with severe consequences so that we make it not okay for these things to happen anymore. This is not okay at all.
Okay. Michelle, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I understand completely, having a 9-year-old. You want that person, that 9-year-old, to be safe and have the kind of life that we grew up with. Ron writes this, a Voice of America reporter has been reassigned and taken off the White House beat after she tried to ask questions of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at an event at VOA headquarters, according to two fellow journalists at the organization. And Ron sends a link, which I can't read, Ron, but thank you for that, and thanks for pointing that out. Kevin writes this, can democracy survive if a country is awash in conspiracy theories and misinformation? Last week's insurrection gave us a glimpse of how that turns out. Shouting USA while looting the Capitol is an example of the dystopia that storm Trumpers believe in, writes Kevin. The mom of one of those people that broke into the Capitol last week is complaining about the way her son is being held in a jail facility in Phoenix, Arizona. This is the man in the horned headdress during the riot in which people tried to overtake the U.S. Capitol, hung nooses outside the Capitol, brought Molotov cocktails to Washington, D.C. He was in federal court yesterday morning, and then afterwards his mom complained to the ABC affiliate out there in Phoenix, and this is what her complaint was about the treatment of her son in a detention facility.
He has not eaten, and he needs to eat. He gets very sick if he doesn't eat organic food, literally will get physically sick.
That's a mom of Jacob Chansley, also known as Jake Angeli, or the QAnon shaman, complaining about her son's treatment in a detention facility in Phoenix, Arizona. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gino in Tampa. Gino, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
I would like to say, comment to a call a few calls ago saying that America is not like this. It is. I don't know why we say that America is not like this. America has always been this way. And you know, they've always done these things. They've had conspiracy theories. They've had people to go out and do crazy harm to other people over voting. And another thing, if we make an example of these people, like they did the Black Panthers. Do you know that some of those guys are still in or just getting out of prison for someone who's doing totally nothing but what these people do. You know, they're getting arrested, some of them. Some of them, you know, they're giving them bond. But America has always been this way. It's just that you're seeing it from a different perspective now because there are white people doing these things. And that's how we are looking at it differently now, you know. And they're arresting them differently. Like when they're arresting the Black Panthers, they're arresting them because they were using their own right too. They had guns. And police was coming into the neighborhood doing anything they wanted to. But when they went out and got guns, then who was the governor of California at that time? I think it was Reagan. Reagan changed this. Oh, he changed the whole law right there. You can't have guns anymore. So America has always been this way, and we need to be truthful about who America is. Thank you.
Thank you, Gino. Thank you. Thank you for your thoughts. 813-239-9663. Joy writes this. My representative in Palm Harbor, Republican Gus Bilirakis, should also be added to the resign list. The email I received from him Sunday explained the only reason he did not vote was he had COVID and he was isolated. His email goes on to tout his position that there were election results not valid. It is worth remembering that Bilirakis also signed on to the failed Texas lawsuit, writes Joy. So, Joy, thank you for that. You may want to call Common Cause and share the letter from Congressman Bilirakis with Common Cause. Patrick writes this, a Republican congressman is not a complete blank. Thanks for shedding light on their de-virginization. This country economy sure ain't a society, is sick. Patrick, it's hard for me to read that. It is filled with so much name-calling and F-words. I think if we're going to get through this, I think we ought to put forward arguments based on reason and history and logic. But let's not, it's hard for, I mean, I would love to read your email, Patrick. But make a cogent argument and don't call people names. Because I think that the way we get out of this is we show that we're better and that we have complete thoughts without resorting to name-calling or the F-word. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Daryl in Sarasota. Daryl, thank you for calling. What would you like to say? Hi, Daryl.
Yep, is it? It's Dell.
Oh, Dell. Hi, Dell. Yep. Well, thank you for calling. Okay. What would you like to say?
That's okay. I just wanted to say, you know, in a war, it takes two to participate. And if the woman earlier said, cancel the inauguration, do it virtual, put it inside, if we don't give them the opportunity, then what are they going to do? So they can do it that way. The other way, they can do it outside if they want, and I know this isn't kind, but just put Trump on a scaffold out in the front of it, and then no one's going to do anything because they're not going to want to hurt him. So they can use him as a shield, and that's just kind of like a joke. But really, it's about let's just not give them the opportunity. That's how I feel, and so they can't disrupt anything. Don't give them the opportunity.
All right, Dell, thank you. Thank you for calling in. It's good to get a lot of people's opinions about what's going on. We're in a dangerous time. Amin writes, I just don't know what to do with my neighbor. She's a diehard Trumpster. Her excuse now is that those who terrorized the Capitol are not really Trump supporters, and they were just some bad apples from Antifa. I'm pulling out my hair. No matter what, she loves her president. She even turned on Pence and called Pence corrupted. I'm just going to read, and this is from the Associated Press, Amin, and you can look this up. I'm going to read a short version of the story, I think, and then we'll try to do a longer version. Or rather, you can find a longer version on the Associated Press. But regarding this lie that Antifa organized the Capitol protest, I'll just read from the AP. The violent mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol last week was overwhelmingly made up of longtime Trump supporters. The Associated Press reviewed social media posts, voter registrations, court files, and other public records for more than 120 people connected to the rioting. They include Republican Party officials, Republican political donors, far-right militants, white supremacists, and adherents of the QAnon conspiracy theory. The evidence gives lie to the claims that the violence at the Capitol was perpetrated by left-wing anti-fascists rather than supporters of the president. An FBI official says investigators have seen no indication that anti-fascist activists were disguised as Trump supporters during the Capitol riot. So there is a longer version of that. Amin, you might just print it out and mail it to your friend next door. Thank you for writing in. Let's go to the person who's been holding the longest, Neil in St. Pete. Neil, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I think the only solution is to deal with the airwaves. The airwaves are the people. You know, for 20 years, we've had this brainwashing going on right-wing radio, Fox News, and even now MSNBC, they have their own version. We just need to have strict standards, I think. And if you're going to have people on your airwaves, on your network, that are proven to continually lie, you're given an opportunity to remove them and explain that you removed them because they were lying to your audience, or you lose your license. And same thing with the people who own the actual, you know, satellite companies.
But Neil, who decides? Who decides who's lying?
I think like with Sean Hannity, there are plenty of provable situations where he can be proven as a liar. So if he's lying and misleading the public, you know, I'm talking like blatant provable lies, not like your opinion. I don't care if Fox News only wants to cover stories about negative stories about Democrats. If it's all factual, great. If it's all propaganda and lies, you lose your license.
But then
it has to be proven.
Okay, but then do you think you're doing away with the First Amendment by doing that?
Well, I think they used to have that one thing years ago. I can't think of the name of it, where you had to give equal time. And then that, and I've heard talk about reinstating that years ago. And maybe that's the other solution you have to do. You have to give equal time, either your networks or your AM radio. So if you have a half hour of Rush Limbaugh, you have to have now a half hour of what used to be Air America or whatever.
I remember those days. I mean, I grew up in the 60s, and there was a guy named Joe Pine who was a talk show host, and his show came on in the afternoon, late in the afternoon around dinner time. And he was a fire-breathing right-winger, fire-breathing. And on the radio stations that I listened to, there was no counterbalance liberal on there. So even though you had that law back then, it never worked. I mean, you would have had the FCC to go into every radio station and enforce it, and then the FCC would become kind of a censor or a decider. And, you know,
I'm reaching for solutions.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, here, let me pose something to you. You tell me if I'm wrong. All right, so some of the biggest corporations in the country underwrote that rally last Wednesday. And I don't have the article in front of me, but I'll try to bring it up later this week. Some of the biggest corporations in the country underwrote the cost of that rally last week. And some of the biggest corporations in the country underwrite your guy, Sean Hannity, the guy that you mentioned. Well, why not everybody who's a thoughtful, reasonable person, whether you're conservative or liberal or radical or, you know, whatever, why not boycott the advertisers and the corporations that underwrite this right-wing movement?
I would be all for that if we could actually get America to, like, put one of the major companies just out of business. Sell all the shares, boycott them until they go under. That would let every other big corporation know, you know what, we're going to just stay out of politics, we're going to stay out of K Street, and we're just going to focus on selling a good product and hoping that consumers like it. But, you know, power corrupts these people.
Yeah, it does. Well, Neil, thanks. And I'm glad you're looking for solutions. I hope I didn't shut you down.
Oh, no. Okay. No, I'm just, you know, because no one's being responsible. If he would just be responsible, it would make things a lot easier.
Yeah. Neil, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Robert in Palmetto. Robert, thank you for calling. What would you like to say? Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I was a teacher, and I'm currently a teacher. I guess I'll always be a teacher. My point is that teachers couldn't, and their children can't leave the classroom when there's an active shooter. These Republicans, they've armed all these people with these crazy weapons to troll around these schools, and they want to arm the teachers, which is no solution, of course, but teachers can't leave. They have to lock down and stay with their children those senators and congressmen got to leave. It's just a comment, Rob, but somebody needs to think about that, that these people have flooded our streets with weapons, and the teachers and the children are the ones that can't leave. I can lock the doors to my house. A teacher can lock their classroom, but those weapons will just blow the door right off. It's something to be in to do a active shooter drill at a school. I can tell you the kind of intense anxiety caused from teachers.
For the teachers and for the children.
Oh, well, yeah, of course the children, but you wouldn't believe it, Rob, and these people have flooded our streets with these weapons. And now they're trying to justify it all. There was a guy, Christian Ziegler, down in Sarasota, who was at the march. He didn't see the AK-47s. He didn't see the Blue Lives Matter flags and T-shirts. He didn't see all that stuff. He said he walked away. He was smart enough to leave, but that just makes him a coward.
Well, I saw Christian Ziegler's post on Facebook. It looked like he was right in the middle of the rally, though. He said he walked away?
Yeah, I think he tried to. I'm not sure, Rob.
It looked like he was very proud of what was going on. He's the county, one of the county commissioners from Sarasota.
That is my impression.
Okay.
All right. That is my impression also. The thing about, I just got to thinking about teachers and how I felt in my classroom. I'm retired now. But can you imagine? They got all these children there, and the people have unlimited left weapons, and we'll give them to anybody. We don't care.
Yeah, I mean, they get these weapons because they fear an all-powerful federal government, but what they're doing is they're endangering the rest of us. And
Those terrorists are more well-trained, more well-armed, and more well-organized than anything that's outside of our country.
Which goes to the question where they were committing sedition, violating the federal law. All right, Robert, thanks a lot. Good points. Thank you. And let's go to Roy in St. Petersburg. Roy, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
I wanted to talk about something along the lines of what Neil mentioned a moment ago about just sort of news organizations that are trusted, finding some kind of news organization that's trusted by both sides. Like, if one side doesn't even trust the fact checkers, you know, where do you go from here? You know, if I have an argument with my next door neighbor about, you know, you Republicans like, you know, trickle down economics, and I think that's BS. And he says, well, you know, you guys are commie, Satanist, lizard people who want to drink baby blood.
Yeah. How do you argue with that? Yeah.
How do you have a cogent argument with these people when there's no external verifiable truth?
You know, call me a Pollyanna, but I think the truth will out. I mean, I've got conservative friends that told me that George Soros was funding people to fly around the country in 2017 to stage a revolution, that he was funding Antifa around the country. Well, that never came to be. That never happened. There was no flying Antifa around the country with millions of dollars from George Soros. What I would do is I would take the most outrageous claims that your friends have, or the people that, you know, the conservatives have, hold on to them, wait 6 months until they don't come true, and then present them to your friends again. You know, because there's all sorts of claims now about, you know, Antifa and all this other stuff out there that conservatives are making. That's not true. It's not going to be true. But hold on to them. Hold your fire. And then in 6 months, say, let me present this to you. This is what you were saying back in January of 2021. And when it turns out not to be true, slowly, it's not going to happen right away, but slowly they'll begin to doubt their sources.
Yeah, I would like to hope that's true. It just seems like these people keep coming back to the trough for more lies.
Well, the QAnon is like really a fire hose of misinformation, and that's what they're relying on a lot.
Yeah, I want to ask these people, what major news source do you trust that we can both, when we have a disagreement, where can we both go to settle the debate? You know, they may not accept the New York Times and the Washington Post, but, you know, like my Trump friend next door, would you accept the Wall Street Journal? Maybe not their opinion pages, but their news articles. Would you accept the Wall Street Journal as a verifiable third party that's trusted by both sides?
And they probably think they're lizard people. Yeah.
To agree to that. And if somebody wants to tell me that the Wall Street Journal is part of the liberal meat,
which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who on his networks is pushing the stolen election conspiracy theory.
if we can't come to some kind of meeting point with people, then we really can't move forward. When somebody says every single thing that you say is a lie, there's really no way to move forward with that.
Yeah, no, I feel your pain. I agree with you. I don't have an easy answer, but that's why we talk about it here on WMNF on 88.5 FM. And Roy, thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. Kathy writes this: I received an email saying that if Trump is impeached, he loses his $200,000 yearly pension, $1 million a year travel allowance, full-time Secret Service detail, and his ability to ever run again. I understand that the 25th Amendment is just a temporary removal of power, and he would still have those benefits. I don't want us to support him for life, writes Kathy. Let's go to Twinkle in Bowling Green. Twinkle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Rob. I totally agree with that last. I agree with everybody that called in.
Well, the great thing about MNF is you know you're not alone. You know, while conservative media is filled with crazy people pushing conspiracy theories,
literally,
at least there's one radio station that talks reasonably. Go ahead.
That's why I love you, and I value your measured response. You're just so good even when people call in with stuff. The reason I called was to let you your listeners know I saw this really awesome documentary by Rick Steves. He's the travel guy on PBS, but he made a wonderful documentary, The Story of Fascism, and he did it net recently because of all the stuff that's happening, but it is so informative, and there's footage and pictures, and he really goes from start to finish. It's very cool. So
is that on his website?
It's on, if you just say Rick Steves or The Story of Fascism on PBS, but it's everywhere. I just Googled it to see if I can.
Okay, so it's easy to find. I love Rick Steves, and he's done tremendous documentaries. I mean, he really believes that people-to-people contact can create more peace in the world.
Yes, and he brings that point into his documentary and why he did it. It's very cool, and I just thought everybody should know if they haven't seen it yet. And also the recent Arnold Schwarzenegger thing he did, I thought was very moving.
Yeah, I played that yesterday. I played the whole thing 7 minutes yesterday, and I'm gonna have it so that if Mark wants to play it in the next hour, he can play it. So it was powerful.
It is cool, like you said, just to know that we're not alone. There's a lot of people that feel and think like, you know, that they're. I love the conversation, and I think it's a wonderful thing to just keep talking. Of course, I also think. And I have friends just like all the people calling in. I have friends, I have family, I have neighbors that are also very much caught up in what I seem to think is a cult. I mean, this looks like a cult to me. But one thing I know is that no matter what, like on my social media, I'm in a band and I, you know, use social media, but I do not talk politics because you will bring out this argument. And I used to try and argue the points and debate, and it never seems to work. So you're not going to change anybody's mind. But I think what we're doing is encouraging everybody. I love the activism I've seen, and I love the dialogue when you stick to the truth. And I'm with you. I'm an optimist. And I think this is part of, you know, this is part of our development. This is an experiment in democracy.
Yeah, if all goes well, we'll learn a lot from this. Yeah.
Yes.
Twinkle,
thanks
a lot. All right, great to hear from you. Charles in Tampa writes, Rob, you must not spend much time on the road if you didn't see many Trumper stickers this past election cycle. I work out of my truck, and there were Trump stickers all over the place, plus flags on vehicles and homes and businesses and signs on the side of the road. Biden-Harris paraphernalia started popping up pretty much just within the last 2 to 3 weeks before the election, writes Charles in Tampa. Charles, thanks for that. You're probably right. I don't drive around enough. We've got this crazy radio job, and sometimes it keeps me here a lot. Let's go to Andrew and Sefner. Andrew, we just have 20 seconds. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My observation or question is, whenever we have a big event, a big crime or whatever, like we had the siege on the Capitol, what happened to the briefings from the law enforcement officials?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, usually we have somebody in charge come out and say, this is where we're at, this is who we're looking for, this is how many arrests we've made. Andrew, that's a great point. We're out of time. I wish I could talk about it more with you. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. And stay tuned for your hero, Mark Bureau. He's coming up in the next hour. And this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Thanks to Barbara Fling, our phone producer today. And right now, we're going to get the latest news from